Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Do you remain standing if you can grab your word?
Stay there for a bit. Now while I read the word.
Okay. And if you could open your Bible to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And we're going to read verses 5 through 11. And you are so blessed to have Pastor Anthony here. What a blessing he is. What a blessing he is. Amen. I remember early days of London. Amen. Way back. Wow, that was in the later. What was that? 90? The last part of the 90s. Man, being able to see, I knew that God had something special over his life, and that he's an incredible songwriter, and it's a blessing. How many know God's not just saving God, he's a keeping God, amen? Luke chapter 8, verse 5 through 11, verse number 8, reads like this. It says, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Starting in verse number 8. Verse number 9 says, for he and his companions were astonished to catch a fish that they had taken, and so were James and John, Simon's partners. Verse 10, Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. And so they pulled their boats on shore, they left everything, and they followed Jesus. You may be seated. Amen. The story here in Luke chapter 5 is a story of Jesus impacting the faith of a man. It is the story of Jesus impacting the faith of a man. It is an example of what a man can become for God when his life is impacted with faith. Even a man like Peter. Even a man like Peter. Now, when you look at the life of Peter, Peter was a project for Jesus. He was a project for Jesus. Well, somebody say amen. Amen. How many are projects for Jesus? Amen. And it was evident that Peter was a project for Jesus. It was evident in the names that Jesus called Peter. When you look at the New Testament, Jesus called Peter different things at different times. There was times that Jesus called Peter Simon, which was his given name, Simon. And Simon meant shifter. It meant shifter. Then there were times when Jesus would call him Peter. It's the name Jesus gave him, which meant rock. And shifter, and sometimes Jesus would call him Simon Peter. Shifter was what Simon was, but a rock was what Jesus wanted him to become. And the project that Jesus had in Peter's life was to take him from being a shifter to a rock. A shifter to a rock. Somebody say amen. The characteristics of a shifter are this. Shifters don't finish anything. Shifters start good, but don't finish. Shifters drop out when things get tough. Shifters are quitters. Well, somebody say amen. Shifters are emotional, unstable, and unreliable. Simon was a shifter. Come on, lift your hands if you were a former shifter. Amen. Lift your hands if you're still a shifter. Amen. Simon was a shifter by nature. By nature, he was a quitter. By nature, he was emotional. By nature, he was unstable, unreliable, and he was a good starter, but he wasn't a good finisher. He was a shifter. Now, the characteristics of a rock are totally the opposite. Rocks are stable. Rocks are unmovable. Rocks are reliable. They're finishers. They're dependable. And the project that Jesus had in Peter's life was to take Peter from a shifter to a rock. Peter from unstable to stable. take Peter from being a quitter to being a finisher. Can I hear somebody say amen? So in the Bible, New Testament, sometimes Jesus would call him Simon when he was acting like a shifter. And sometimes he would call him Peter when there was a resemblance that he might change and be a rock. Well, and then sometimes he called him Simon Peter because he didn't know who he was that day. Amen. Peter was a project. He was a project for Jesus. Jesus would take this man from being an unreliable emotional shifter to a man he could place the future of his mission on his shoulders because he was a rock. And I want you to know something this morning. We are projects for Jesus, but Jesus doesn't see us as the way we are. Jesus speaks life into us for what we can become when we trust in him. Come on, somebody give the Lord a good clap offering. Amen. So when we look at Luke chapter 5, Peter got on the boat as a shifter, but he actually got off the boat as a rock. He got in the boat here in Luke chapter 5 as Simon, and he got off the boat as Peter. Because the difference between a shifter and a rock is faith. The difference between a shifter and a rock is faith. Our faith determines everything in our walk with God. Our faith determines everything. Our faith keeps us. Our faith moves us. Our faith takes us from what we are to what we can become. Come on, somebody needs to say amen. Our faith breaks the walls that keep an emotional, unreliable, keep us emotional, unreliable shifters and molds us into men and women that can be trusted. Our faith takes us from quitters to finishers. Our faith takes us from someone who can't be trusted to rocks that can't be moved. Are there any rocks in the house this morning? Because our faith is not just something we say. Our faith is something we live. Our faith is not just something we do. It is something we are. In fact, it's not faith until it's all that we're holding on to. And that a faith that's never been tried is a faith that can never be trusted. If God brings you to it, God is going to see you through it. Woo! Somebody say amen. Our faith is everything. And it's not something we just say. It's something we live. And in this ministry, testimony, example of God has taken men and women who were shifters, unreliable, emotional people. But because of faith, God turns them into rocks. And it is on rocks that God is going to accomplish the mission of Victory Outreach and the vision of Victory Outreach in the continent of Europe. Can I hear somebody say amen? So when we look at this story, There are three things this morning that Jesus did to impact the faith of Peter, to impact his faith. And I'm going to give you those three things this morning. The first thing that we see in this story here is how Jesus spoke to his faith. Jesus didn't speak to his emotions. He spoke to Peter's faith. Peter had been fishing all night long and he had caught nothing. And he was there on the shore. He was cleaning his nets. Jesus was speaking. And Jesus got on his boat. And when he got on his boat, what Jesus did is that Jesus spoke to Peter's faith. He didn't speak to his emotions. He didn't speak to his circumstances. He didn't speak to his needs. He spoke to his faith. The fact that Peter had fished all night long and hadn't caught anything. But Jesus didn't speak to his discouragement. He spoke to his faith. Jesus spoke to his faith. He didn't speak to his needs or his emotion or his circumstances. He spoke to his faith. And he challenged Peter to trust his word. He told Peter, take the boat out into the deep. And what he was telling Peter was this, trust in my word. Don't trust in your emotions. Trust in my word. Come on, somebody say amen. Our faith begins to be impacted at God's word. God's word never speaks to our emotions. It speaks to our faith. It challenges us to trust God at His word in spite of what we are facing. God's word speaks to our faith. Jesus didn't speak to His reasoning. You can't have reason and faith at the same time. Reason cancels out faith. Peter could have easily reasoned away what Jesus was asking. He could have seen with his natural eyes. But Jesus was asking him and challenging him to see with his spiritual eyes. If I can't see with my eyes, I gotta see with my heart. God's word is constantly challenging our faith. It speaks to our faith. It doesn't speak to our circumstances or speak to our needs or speak to our... Yes, it addresses those things, but it speaks to our faith. How many know there's power in God's word? I said, how many know there's power in God's word? I said, how many know there's power in God's word? And that's where the struggle begins sometimes in many people's life. Because faith begins when we trust God's word. When we let God's word direct our lives, when we let God's word be the authority in our lives, we stand here this morning because of the power of God's word. We stand in this morning because we didn't understand everything, but we obeyed God's word. And it was God's word that transformed my life. I'm a husband because of God's word. I'm a man because of God's word. I'm a minister because of God's word in my life. Somebody better say amen. Amen. Faith begins when we trust God's word. When we let it be the authority in our lives, when we let it be the absolute and the standard of our lives, and an absolute in our lives, God's word is light to direct you. It is rule. It rules our heart. It guides our feet. It is the pilgrim's guide. It is the traveler's map, the pilot's compass, and the soldier's sword. Somebody say amen. Amen. Woo! And it ain't no butter knife either. Amen. In fact, when Paul was talking, about the sword in the New Testament, the sword of the Spirit, he was talking about a certain sword. There were different swords that they had. There was one sword called the Machiata, and the Machiata was like a double-edged sword. It would not only cut you when it went in, but it would cut you when it pulled out. And it made a certain sound that when the enemy heard that sword, it made a certain sound when it came out. The enemy knew that he was in for a fight, that he was going to get wounded. Amen. That's what the enemy should hear when he tries to attack your life. Amen. He comes at you. Listen, he wants to mess your emotions up. He wants to mess your reliability. He wants to make you a quitter. He wants to attack you. But when he hears this sound, you want to fight, baby? Amen, huh? Want to fight? That's what God's word is. Amen. God's word. Do it with me. 1, 2, 3. Shh. Oh, not. Amen. Come on. Oh, 1, 2, 3. Shh. That's what he should hear from a man and woman of God. He comes to tempt him. He comes to lie to him. Shh. You want to fight? We don't fight with the arm of our strength. We don't fight in the arm of our flesh. We fight with God's word. Amen. Somebody say amen. What does he hear when he comes to attack you? A little plastic knife? Want to fight? That's ugly, huh? Some enemies would run away just for the fact they had the Machiata sword. Because that thing would cut. It's God's word. God's word needs to be an absolute in our life. You know that God's word can sometimes be a relative in our life? It becomes relative. What is relative? The relative is this, and this is what we face in our world, whether you live in the United States or whether you live in Europe. We face a world today, and I'm not talking about the world, I'm talking about Christianity, where God's word has become relative. In other words, the truth is what I say. The truth is what I say. Truth to you may not be truth to me. That's what many preachers are preaching over their pulpits. Truth to you may not be truth to me. What happens is the lines become movable. We begin to adjust them to our lifestyle. Well, I want to tell you something. There are no movable lines in God's word. God's word, the conviction of God's word, is an unmovable line. What stands today is the conviction and the absolute of God's word. It's almost like God's word becomes an opinion. Well, let me see. That's your opinion. This God's word is a sword, brother. It's a conviction, a word that is a conviction within our life. If you're going to make it, if you're going to go from a quitter to a finisher, if you're going to go from unstable to stable, if you're going to go from a shifter to a rock, then at God's word has to be an absolute in your life. Peter said, if you say so, God, he was saying this, I don't understand it, I don't see it, but because it came from your mouth, amen, I believe it, amen. Come on, take 10 seconds and clap. Amen. Yeah. It's direction for our life. It's instruction for our life. It's the command. Jesus spoke to his faith. Years ago, I'd say about 10 years ago, I happened to be in New York with Pastor Sonny, Sister Julie. There were several pastors that were there with us. And Pastor asked me if I wanted to go to Washington, D.C. with him. And I had never been there. And what he had was he was going to some very special meetings with some very high-powered people that were thinking about giving money to Victory Outreach for the recovery and rehab work that we did. So I said, fine. He said, just dress up, wear a tie, look important, and don't say nothing, amen. And don't say anything, amen. So I said, all right. So I went with him. We went with a couple of other so-called experts from our ministry as far as, you know, getting money. I mean, we're talking about, at that time, the United States had what was called a faith-based division in the White House, where they gave a lot of money to faith-based groups. So we went in the first meeting, and we went to the head of the gentleman that was in charge of giving out all the money. And Pastor Sonny began to share his testimony. And, you know, I've heard that testimony about 2,000, 3,000 times, but it still moves my life. How many know the grace and mercy of Jesus never gets old? And he began to tell this man what we were doing all over the world. You know, how God was touching lives. The guy just kind of just wasn't even impressed. I felt like saying something, but I remembered I just needed to shut up. Amen. This was Washington, D.C., the seat of power for a lot of the world. And, Pastor, you know, it just got the guy looked at Pastor Sonny, and basically what he said is that that's all good, but if you don't do what we tell you to do, you really never get no money. And we're not interested in that. We're interested in you following the rules. Went to the next meeting, the head of the child services and the head of gang coalition, the third meeting. The same thing. Pastor Sonny shared his testimony, and I just sense Pastor getting a little frustrated. The last one, he was the head of the gang coalition for the whole United States. And the same thing. He said, if you don't do what we tell you to do, then you don't get any money. You're talking about millions and millions of dollars. As we were going home, he was silent. You know, Pastor was quiet. We flew back to New York from Washington, and when he's quiet, then I'm quiet, because I'm not going to make conversation, amen, because I don't want to be the center of that conversation. When your pastor's quiet, stay away from him, amen. So we got on the plane, and then we got in the car, where we landed, and we were driving, and we hadn't even said a word, because that's just something. I know when he's upset. I've been around him, and I've been the recipient of his upsetiveness, so that's a word, amen. And then somebody called on his car phone. And it was somebody, it was Sonny Jr. And he called at the wrong time, man. He just called. You know, there's some times you will get rebuked just because Pastor needs to rebuke somebody. Well, amen. You didn't do anything, but you just happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time, man. And Sonny Jr. called, he goes, what's wrong with you? And I'm just sitting here. We're on our way back from New Jersey into downtown Manhattan, and he's telling him, what's wrong with you? And Sonny didn't even say anything. He just, boom, boom. Then Pastor got on a roll. He hung up the phone, got a hold of Debbie, says, get this person on the line. And for the next 15 minutes, he was rebuking people. He was like, what's wrong with you? Man, I was right against the door, but I was trying to move as close as I could. And the last person he was rebuking, every once in a while, we were getting close to my hotel, he would say something. He goes, yeah, this one, where's your hotel? And he wouldn't give me a chance to answer. He goes, where's your hotel? And he goes, where's your hotel? Finally, he just goes, where's your hotel? And and I go, Pastor, just drop me off here, I'll walk. You say, what was bothering Pastor? I know my pastor. I know that when he came out of that those meetings, the Holy Spirit was convicting him. And I know what the Holy Spirit was telling him. You didn't come this far by asking for money. The government is not your provision. This ministry has started with faith. It has kept you by faith. And it will go on by faith. Amen. God speaks to our faith. Every time you walk in this building, God should speak to your faith. Not just speak to your needs or your circumstances, but to your faith. Amen. God's not interested in giving you a handout. God is interested in taking you from being a shifter to a rock. He's not interested in just getting you through the night or getting you through the week. God wants to change your life so you'll never be in this condition again. Woo! So he speaks to your faith. Whew. The second thing is that he stirred his faith. He spoke to his faith, and then he stirred his faith. Something happened to Peter on that boat. Something happened. Because Peter was a professional fisherman. He knew fishing. Jesus was a carpenter. He didn't know fishing. Peter knew fish, and he knew fishing on this lake. He had just spent a whole night fishing on this lake. He had fished in this lake many, many times. And Peter knew this. Peter knew that fish came out at night, and they slept during the day. That's why he just spent all night long fishing, because the fish ate at night. They slept during the day. There was no way. Peter knew that the fish swam in the deep. They didn't swim in shallow water. Basically, Peter knew that where Jesus was taking the boat, there were no fish. But he wasn't going to say anything. There was no way in the world they were going to catch fish. But when those nets began to fill up, when he threw out the nets, and those nets began to fill up and fill up and fill up, something happened to Peter's life. Something stirred inside of him. Something stirred up in Peter. And this is why. Listen to this. He was not impressed that Jesus took the boat to where the fish were. What blew away Peter was that Jesus commanded the fish to swim where the boat was. It's not that he was taking the boat to where the fish were, but it was that he was commanding the fish to swim to the boat. Those fish were asleep. They weren't swimming around. They were asleep. And all of a sudden, one of their eyes woke up. Where are you going? I don't know. The master's calling. Come on, let's go. Where are we going? I don't know. We got to go this way, man. Just get in the van. Shut up. Amen. Huh? Just come on, amen. And they all came, cousins, uncles, everybody started coming. Everybody, come on. I believe this. This is my own interpretation. There were fish from other lakes, amen, that were jumping out of the water and they were running. Where are you going? I don't know, but the master is calling. Jesus commanded the fish to swim to the boat. He used the supernatural for the natural. He commanded those fish. And you think Jesus can't meet your needs. He won't take you where the money is. He'll make the money come to you. And so he was in that boat. And something happened to him. Something stirred in his life. All of a sudden he recognized he was not in the presence of just a teacher. He was in the presence of the Creator Supreme. Somebody that with one command could make nature respond to him. One that could talk and command the fish to swim to. Come on, somebody say amen. We serve a big God. That's why he went kneel down on the boat and said, man, stay away from me. Because he recognized. In fact, when you look at the Greek, when Jesus told him to put the fish
to put the boat out in the deep, he said, okay, master, I'll do it, but we fished all night long, but because you say it, I'll do it. And that word in the Greek is the word boss. He called Jesus boss. Okay, I'll do it because you're the boss. You're in charge of me. But when he said it the second time, when he said master the second time, he was saying, you are supreme. Something happened to him. You are supreme creator. He recognized that at one command, Jesus, oh, somebody say amen. Amen. Jesus commanded nature to obey him. And his heart was stirred. His heart was stirred. Sometimes, man, when we respond in faith, man, it's because God has something great for your life. He has something great for your thinking. He has something so great for your life. And it's not, you know what it is? It's not necessarily that he wants you to be impressed with what he's given you, but he wants you to be impressed with who he is. He's God. He's the God that is greater and bigger than your circumstances. He's bigger than your life. He's bigger than the impossibilities. He's bigger than nature. He's bigger than sickness. He's bigger than poverty. He's bigger than drug addiction. Amen. I serve a God that is awesome. Oh, come on. Take 10 seconds. Amen. You are worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. There's something happened to my wife and I early on in our ministry that we've never forgotten because it was so outrageous. It was, you know, 10, 15 years later, I still preach about this. This is like our pancake miracle. This was Victory Outreach Denver, Pastor Thomas was Jody's. This was our pancake miracle. And I'm sure that Pastor Paul has those little miracles that you just go, oh my God. They're head scratchers, like how in the world they changed your life. Yes. And we had we were given a school bus. A nice school bus was given to us. And when we started doing the, you know, checking into how much it was going to cost us as far as insurance, we felt like it's just too expensive to we needed to buy some vans, so we wanted to sell the bus and get a van. We didn't really had a need for school bus, but we got the title free. So we put it out that we had a bus for sale to some of the churches. And this pastor came from a church that was not in the inner city where we were, in the nicer areas, the suburbs. He came and personally he said, I'm interested in the bus. So I had the men's home director take him out for a ride in the bus. He was riding it. As he's taking it for a ride, the Lord says, I want you to give that guy the bus. Give it to him. Just give him the title. Not I have a problem obeying God. You know, I've always obeyed God. But I have a problem when God wants me to give money to people that have more money than me. Well, I kept reminding God, Lord, you got it turned around here. We're the inner city ministry. We're in the ghetto. Amen. Look across the street. Amen. You know, but God don't care about your little excuses. Sometimes I wonder if God just feels like just striking us, like just deleting us. Like, okay, you're dead. Amen. He unfriends us. How many thank God that God's not like some of us? Oh, I'll just unfriend you. I don't want to hear from you no more. Huh? Isn't that awesome? You don't like somebody? You're out of my life, man. Let's just raise our hand and thank God that God's not like that, because some of us wouldn't be here. And I'm not talking about the homes. I'm talking about some of us. So he took the bus for a ride, and I fought with God up to the time the guy walked in the door. And he came in and he goes, you know what? I think we'll take the bus. How much is the price? And I said, you know what? The Lord told me to give it to you. And he almost got like offended. Like he had that look like said, well, I don't need your handouts. So I gave him a look back that said, you need to get the bus, get out of here. Or we will rob you, amen. Jump you, amen. I didn't say that.
But I sure thought it, man. I just,
So he goes, okay, takes the bus. I forgot about it. Why cry over spilled milk? Year later, my home director calls me. He says, Pastor, because they work every so often with this company, and they would work with them. And he called me and he said, Pastor, this company that we're working for, every 5-6 years, they change the fleet of all of their automobiles, all their trucks, cars. There's over 20 of them. He says, and every 5-6 years, they change the fleet. And he came to me and said, we want to give it to Victory Outreach. And I said, well, what did you tell him? He said, well, I said, I had to ask my pastor. I said, there's things that you have to ask me, man. And then there's things that you don't have to ask me. Say yes! We've got big trucks, little trucks. We got moving trucks, SUVs, 20 vehicles. We sold some. We gave a lot of them away. Holmes got them. Gave it all away. And I went back to my office, and I didn't even begin to realize, and the Lord said, cast your bread upon the water, and after many days, it will return to you. God took a bus, and he increased it. He took a seed of a bus. God will use anything, man. God will command the blessing to come off a bus. Off a bus. And I begin to sit there and go, God, you know, from that day, I've never doubted whatever God wants. He reminds me of the bus. Remember the bus. Remember the bus. Remember the bus. When we get our pledges, remember the bus. Remember the bus. And God was saying, you can't outthink me. You can't outgive me. You can't even imagine what I can do, amen, when you just stand in faith, amen. And it's one of those experiences you just get up and you just go, God. I felt like calling Pastor Sunday and said, what do you need? What do you need? My faith is so high. My faith is stirred. My faith is stirred. We just came back from Rotterdam. My faith is stirred. Amen. My faith is stirred. Amen. Every time I talk to your pastor, his faith is stirred. There's something that happens to your life when God begins to stir your faith. Amen. But when's the last time your faith is stirred? When's the last time you had one of those faith stirring moments? Do you have one of those reference points in your life that takes you to the next challenge and the next challenge? God, Jesus spoke to the faith of Peter, and then when Peter responded in faith, he stirred his faith up. He stirred his faith up because that's what faith does. That's the process of how God changes a man and a woman. That's the process of how God raises up armies in a church to accomplish things that people say you can't accomplish. It's against the norm. But when God can take a shifter to a rock. In fact, he looked at Peter and said, on you, Peter, I will build my church. You are the rock. On your character, I'm going to build this church because of faith. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. And the last thing is that he moved his faith. He not only spoke to his faith and stirred his faith, but he moved his faith. When Peter got off the boat, he didn't come off as Simon. He came off as Peter. He didn't come off as a shifter. He came off as a rock. Because when he got to the shore, he just dropped all of his fishing material, all his fishing equipment. And he followed God because Jesus had said something to him because Peter was afraid of Jesus. Jesus said to Peter, he said, don't be afraid. He said, from now on, you're not going to fish for fish, but from now on, you're going to fish for men. And he dropped a cause into his spirit. Peter moved on from being a shifter. Peter moved on to being that rock. And he got off the boat and he dropped everything. He laid it down. There's sometimes how people sometimes can't understand why people just lay their life down for the cause of God. Well, you'll never understand unless you've had a faith experience with Jesus Christ. You've had one of those experiences when God has spoken to your faith. You've responded in faith. And you've seen the miracle working hand of Jesus Christ. When he got to the shore, he laid his life down. Something happens when a man and a woman, when God impacts their faith. We will never accomplish this vision with shifters. We will accomplish this vision with rocks. That's why you got to fight for your faith. You got to fight for it. God's not asking us, go ahead, Anthony, come on. God's not asking you to fight for anything else. God has asked you to fight for your faith, because faith is everything to us. Can I hear somebody say amen? Amen. The biggest target of the enemy will be your faith. The enemy targets your faith. He targets your faith. He targets your faith. He wants to make you look and focus in on your circumstances and your needs and on your deficiencies. But when he comes, we got to fight for our faith. Fight for my faith. The faith for my family. The faith for my marriage. The faith for my church. The faith for my ministry. The faith for my vision. The faith for my purpose. The only fight God has ever asked you to fight is the fight for your faith. To let God, let faith take you from being a shifter to a rock. Because of your faith. Can I hear somebody say amen? What a faithful God we serve. What a faithful God we serve. And so we allow the Lord. That's why faith is so important. And every time God's word is spoken, it's a challenge to your faith. You're either going to get in the boat and do what Jesus said, or you're going to look at reason. You're going to reason away what God is asking you to do. Come on, stand to your feet. Amen. Lift your hands. You are worthy of it all. Come on. Hallelujah.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.